In this very short reading from the Gospel of John, we heard John the Baptist talk about who Jesus is. And in what he says, in this just really short section, it encapsulates the whole way of Jesus. Okay, his life, his mission, and the way that he gets his work done. John the Baptist says he's the Son of God who is called by his Father. In other words, he's given a mission. Who receives the Holy Spirit. And then who responds to this call, to this mission, with obedience. He says yes. The obedience takes the form of surrendering everything. Of giving everything to the Father and keeping nothing back from himself. And this is why St. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Okay, this is really important actually. Jesus is not called the Lamb of God because he's gentle, or because he's cuddly, or because he's fuzzy, or something like that. Jesus is called the Lamb of God because we're talking about the temple and the Lamb of sacrifice. The Lamb that is placed on the altar pours out all of its blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the one who gives his entire life as a sacrifice to the Father, who pours out everything and surrenders everything for the salvation of the world. So this is why St. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." If you want to hear more about this, you can listen to Bishop Barron's sermon for this weekend. It's really good, but it's specifically about what it means Jesus is the Lamb. So Jesus is called by the Father. He's given the Holy Spirit. He responds with obedience and surrender and becomes the Lamb that is sacrificed. And what comes of it, and this is his mission in the first place, what comes of it is the salvation of the world. So St. Paul, we heard this in the second reading, he does the exact same thing. And it's actually hidden in this text, but it's all there. St. Paul says, "I, Paul, was called by Jesus. He gave me his Holy Spirit, and I responded with obedience. I surrendered my whole life to him, and I now imitate Jesus. I follow his way, and I'm working to make my life into a sacrifice to God." In other words, St. Paul, following the way of Jesus, he says, "I want to be like another Lamb of God." And what comes from St. Paul's obedience, his response to his mission? The salvation of very many. We're here, the Lord uses him to give us a large portion of the New Testament. Every Christian, this is the story. Like Jesus, like St. Paul, we're made sons and daughters of God at baptism. We're given the Holy Spirit at baptism and confirmation. And then we receive our call, our mission from the Lord. All of that, if you're baptized, all of that is already done. You have been adopted by God, you have received his Holy Spirit, and he has called you, he's given you a mission. What is unwritten so far, what is uncertain, is what your response to that call and mission will be. Will it be obedience, or will it be self-will? Will it be surrender of your whole life, or only halfway? What will come from your response to the Lord? The salvation of many depends on your answer. It's natural to be intimidated by this call because as big as you might think it is, or as badly as I explain it, it's more all-encompassing than any of us really understand until we've stepped into it. It's really a call to surrender everything, to become holy like Jesus, to be sent like Jesus, to give all like Jesus. So just look at your own life and your own heart. You're here today, and that's a good thing. You have given the Lord an hour of your Sunday. Okay, so that's like the beginning of surrender. What else have you given to him? What else have you held back? Usually, our sins that we cling to, this is definitely an area that we hold back from God, but they don't necessarily have to be sins. What are the areas of your life, those things in your heart that are so precious to you that you won't hand them over? You won't give God permission because he might mess it up, because he might ruin everything for you. When we're talking about surrender, what we're talking about is, Lord, if you say go, I will go. And if you say forget about that, I will forget about it. What about the dreams for your life and your hopes? What about relationships that you have? What about the dreams that you have for your children? Will you allow the Lord to change those things, or will you cling to them? Those and whatever else you notice that is precious to you, that you hold tightly to. This call is to give more than we think we have, because actually it's a call to give more than we have. This, when we surrender, what the Lord does is he transforms our hearts and enlarges us so that you know, we might say, well, I have this much to give. I have that much love in my heart. And the Lord says, I want this much from you. When we give him this much, he works to enlarge our hearts by this surrender, by making our lives a sacrifice so that we actually have more to give. Now, this surrender, this obedience, it comes to a focal point in this one thing. Our surrender is incomplete if we have never reached out or shared the gospel with another or called someone else to the obedience of faith. Our surrender is incomplete if it's just me and the Lord, and if that's all it means. You remember in the first reading, I love this reading from Isaiah. The Lord says to his people, it's too little that you be my servant and that we raise up the tribes of Jacob. Okay, so he says, Israel, you're my people already. It's too little that you're doing well. It's too little that you, Israel, and I, the Lord, have a good thing going. He says, that's too little for me. I will make you a light to the nations so that my salvation reaches to the ends of the earth. This goes for each of us, too. The Lord says, it's too little that you and I have a good thing. I will make you a light to the nations. I will make you a beacon of my hope to those who have none. And it goes for every parish also. It's too little that we got a good thing with the Lord. He says, I want much more from you. Here's a quick review. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Lord's blessing making all the difference. We asked for his blessings on our plans and projects and work going forward. Last week, we talked about the mission of Jesus, the mission of the church, the mission of each parish, specifically St. Luke's parish. We talked about the analogy of this ship that is the church with these three goals: to reach its destination, to take care, good care of those who are on board, and to haul the many people who are drowning in the water up on board. To put this whole, the readings from today, this all in context here, this conversation that we're having, me telling you about surrender and mission, this goes under goal number two. This is part of strengthening and training and forming those who are on board to be sailors on this ship. You can categorize it like this. What I'm talking about, I'm informing you of our destination, okay? The goal that we have, the number one thing, is to reach the Lord, to imitate him, to give our whole lives in surrender and obedience to him, to become a parish of lambs of God that sacrifice everything to the Lord for love. What's interesting, too, is that this sacrifice that we want to make, this destination that we have, this union with Jesus, is also the means of number three on this ship. The way that we, and the strength that we have to haul other people out of the water, it comes only from giving our entire lives. If we keep something back, then our hands are tied and the Lord can do almost nothing with us. It's like someone who refuses to eat on ship and then, of course, can't work because they're weak. Here's how I see this all playing out for us. I see it in three phases, okay? This is kind of a proposal. These three phases. Number one, get ourselves as a parish in shape, make things run well. Number two, we prepare for others who are on the outside to come in. And number three, we go get others and bring them in. Okay, this is what I mean by these things. And there's plenty of work just for phase one. Phase one is just getting ourselves ship shape. There's no big crises going on. This place isn't caving in or something like that. But there's a lot of little needs and things that aren't being fulfilled. And there, I think symptoms is something deeper. For example, do you notice, maybe you don't notice, it's good if you don't, but you notice before Mass every weekend, there's the committed ushers are like, we don't have enough ushers. And so they look for, maybe you've been asked before, if you look friendly, then you've probably been asked, hey, will you help with the collection today? Because we don't have enough people signed up. This is like, it's a small thing, but an important thing, and it's just part of like, it's part of step one, that we have our jobs distributed and that we know what we're doing and that we can do daily life as a parish, you know? So there's difficulties with all this. The ushers, the altar servers, catechists, the choir. We're hitting the bare minimum right now. If a visitor comes in and sees this, they see us scrambling to do what we do every single week. That's embarrassing. It looks like we don't care. So this is why the first thing is just to get ourselves in shape. Now, ministries, fulfilling places in ministries is like one form of this. But, you know, you've been to Mass here before. There's some good days, some bad days. But it's just like another symptomatic thing. I was thinking about this at the last Mass. When the priest says, the Lord be with you. And sometimes you hear, like, meh, spirit. What is this? This is what we do every Sunday. This should be like the most normal thing to us. But it's sometimes foreign, sometimes weird, and we kind of hold back like adolescents and we don't participate in it. There's disorganization and there's kind of a lackluster attitude. So this is why, number one, before anything else, we got to get ourselves in shape here. Now, most parishes that I have been to, actually all that I have ever seen, the first phase of this is their entire goal. Like, let's be a thriving parish. Let's have good things going on. Let's have a well-run ship. And then they say, when they get there, great, we've arrived. That's it. But not for us, okay? That is phase number one, because that prepares us for the next two. We do all of these sorts of things to get ready for the next stuff. So the phase number two, again, is to be ready to prepare our place, our parish, for those who are on the outside. Just last night, somebody came in who had never been here before, who said they weren't Catholic, they'd been to Mass like one time before, and we weren't ready. I didn't have any materials to give them to say, hey, well, here's something to guide you through Mass if you've never done this before. I didn't have somebody to connect them to. I didn't have something to say, hey, if you want to get connected here, if you want to know what's going on, then here's some information for you. It was like, great, we're so glad you're here. And at the end, they left. And I didn't hear anything about it. That's just such a shame. We already have people coming in and we're not prepared for it. It's like phase two is like being on the ship, to go back to the ship analogy. Phase two is just to prepare the rooms and the beds and the blankets and the hot food for those that are going to be on board with us. I want everybody to know the mission so that when somebody comes through the door, everybody goes, oh, that person's new, and we don't have to mob them or something. But somebody goes up and says, hey, this is my name. I don't know if you've been here before. If you need to know, the bathrooms are over there. Will you sit with me for Mass? Maybe you've never done this before, but I want to guide you through it. We got to all be on board with the mission to do this and then like have the materials and have the stuff to give to those people right away. The third stage, of course, is not just to be like ready for visitors, but it's to go get people. I don't know, from your workplace, from your school. Now, here's what's important about this, because everybody freezes up as soon as you suggest sharing the gospel. But what we're talking about is something that you can learn, that I and the missionaries and the other people on staff, these are trainable skills to learn how to share the gospel, how to have this kind of conversation, how to pray with people, how to invite them to church. Okay, so it isn't just like, yeah, now go and have a really awkward conversation with that coworker that you have lunch with, okay? No, that's not what we want. There are like winsome and natural ways to do this, and I want to give them to you, but you're not ready for it yet. We're still back on phase one. When we get a little further along, then everybody here will know how to do this, and will have confidence in it to bring in somebody else. Because they're out there in the water, they're dying, and we're going to swim out to them, but we have some preparation to do before. So I don't know how long each of these phases will take. I don't know. I hope it's quick. I also don't know the best way to get through each phase. Like, we know where we want to go, and it's just a matter of like picking different strategies. What I want to do, I want you to be on board so that what we can do is try something and fail and try again on the way to the goal. I don't have a perfect solution, and neither do any of you. We're going to just try it. There are many ideas. There's plenty to learn, but we're sitting around doing nothing. We haven't tried anything yet. So let's try something and mess up and adjust and keep going from there. I'm telling you all of this because I want it all to be in context. I want you to know your need, and I want you to know how all, even the little things fit into this bigger picture. Today, having pulled you out of the water, the captain of the ship, the Lord of heaven and earth, he summons us to his chambers and he calls us to share in his mission in the work of his ship. There can be no self-will on this ship. Like I said before, there are no stowaways and no passengers. There are those who are recovering from the water and there are sailors and no one else. The obedience, surrender of Jesus, the obedient surrender of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, save the world. Just dream about this for a second with me. What will be gained by your surrender and obedience to the Lord? On the other hand, what will be lost if you refuse? What can be gained if everyone in this parish steps into greater surrender and obedience to the Lord, if this obedience and surrender is the means of our salvation? aware of our weakness, we stand before the Lord, and we just, the answer has been given to us. It's what we read in the Psalms today. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.